Shall we open up, please, to the book of Matthew? Matthew 19. It's not always necessarily easy when you're tasked with giving a word of ministry. There's a broad array of subjects that we can speak on, and hopefully the word that is given tonight will be of use. It will be encouraging. I've often hard on myself, and these things that I enjoy from ministry are not always the things that others enjoy from ministry, but hopefully it'll be of use to someone here. And we know that the word of God is always a blessing whenever it's read. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go, and sell what thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. We'll read in Mark. We have a number of readings tonight. Mark chapter 8. Verse 34. Now, the disciples Peter specifically said to the Lord Jesus Christ, Thou art the Christ. And in verse 34, Mark chapter 8, says, When he had called his people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We'll read further still in 1 Corinthians. There's three more portions of scripture. One in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 6. And verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're reading a book back, please, Romans chapter 12. Verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And one final reading, please, in 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2. It's a good way to get to know your Bible. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And when, in verse 21, for even hereunto were you called. Well, let's read in verse 20. For what glory is it if when you were buffeted, if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Lord, I know we'll add a blessing to the reading of his word. I want to think with you all tonight, primarily about the Lordship of Christ. The Lordship of Christ. You know, when I was considering what to speak on and what to take from the Word of God, I was thinking into my own life about what I've been trying to do and how I've been trying to read the Word of God and trying to read the Gospels and trying to get to know a little bit more about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he would do in certain circumstances and what he did in certain situations. And you know, something that came to my mind was, it was very clear, I was looking at my life and, you know, I'm a person, I tend to do a lot of self-reflection and thinking about what's going on, how I'm doing as a Christian, what's going on in my life. And I was thinking about that desire that I had to read the Gospels and to know more about Christ. And you know, I was thinking, why do I want to know more about Christ? Why do I want to read the Gospels and know what he did in certain circumstances? Is it not for an example that I can use in my own life when I'm confronted with these situations, when I'm confronted with these problems? I want to think, well, how did the Lord Jesus Christ respond? How did he react? But you know, I got to thinking that even though that in and of itself is great, I was thinking, what about the Lordship of Christ? What about bowing down to his will? Not simply using his life as an example, but actually obeying and living for 100% for him and denying myself. You see, when it comes to the Lordship of Christ, the question that I need to ask myself is Christ the Lord of my life? Obvious, but it's important. Because that question speaks volumes about what I think about the life I'm leading. What do I mean by that? Well, if I simply look at Christ as someone who is a great example, and I want to emulate that example and I want to follow him, and yet there are certain aspects of my life that I try to keep away, then although I might be leading a good Christian life, what about my heart? What about my motivations? What about my desires? You see, I have a tendency, and I'll refer to a lot of I, and I'm sorry, it's difficult to do a ministry and you know, I don't want anyone to think that I'm speaking about anyone, but I want to make sure that, you know, these things are out there and this is the things that my thought process. So what about the way I view the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we really want Christ to control every aspect of our lives? Or is there a certain part of us that we want to hold back? And that is really what it really comes down to when I think about the Lordship of Christ and I think about the Lord Jesus Christ and even that title, the Lord Jesus Christ reigning and him in heaven and him, you know, he's going to come back. How does that fit into my life right now? And so, just think about the question. Is Christ leader? Or is he Lord? Or is he both? Now, obviously, we want, as Christians, we want the Lord Jesus Christ to be our example. But we also want him to be our Lord. So I'm not saying, and when I go through this, I'm not saying that the Lord Jesus Christ should only be considered as our Lord and not an example. That's not what I'm saying. And I really want to go through a couple of things that I was thinking of. What do we look for in a leader? What do we look for in someone who we want to emulate, to follow? And I was considering just, a couple of different examples of qualities, of characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ that I've been enjoying that really, are part of leadership. We think of his consistency. Think of his consistency. The Lord Jesus Christ was consistent in every single thing he did. He was, if we read the Word of God, we think about his prayer life. And he had a consistent prayer life. As was his custom, we read oftentimes. The Lord Jesus Christ would go to a mountain apart to pray. The Lord Jesus Christ would be in communion with God. It's an amazing thing to consider because we, in our lives, consistency, for me, has been something that's been a big issue. But when I look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I see how consistent he was, not simply consistent in his prayer life, but consistent in his actions. What he did was completely in agreement with what he understood from his Father. The actions that he took were not strong one day and for God one day, and then the next day he would have pleasure. He would please himself, I should say. The Lord Jesus Christ was completely consistent. Prayer life, thought life, actions, words, everything about him was consistent. Think about the loyalty of Christ. How loyal was the Lord Jesus Christ? He would do the will of the Father. And no matter what the case was, the Lord Jesus Christ would always be loyal to the Father. Think about his temptation. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ can't sin. He's incapable of sinning. But even so, look at the answers of the Lord Jesus Christ during the temptation. It is written. It is written. It is written. And he was loyal to God no matter what. Oftentimes I think about, if that was my temptation, the Lord, and Satan was showing me kingdoms and saying, look, all this will be yours if you just bow down. Would I remain loyal? The Lord Jesus Christ, there was no doubt he would remain loyal. Every circumstance, every situation, no faltering in him. And so as leader, we seek to be like him. We seek to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? That's what we read in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. That he left for us an example that we are to follow. And in that particular occasion, it was, if someone were to, to do something wrong against you because of something that you did wrong, then what glory is that? But if you suffer for righteousness sake, that's even Christ suffered. He is an example. But not only do we seek to be like him, but we seek his guidance, right? Leaders, we want leaders to guide us, to help us. When there are issues going on and there are problems, we want to be able to go to that person and say, what should I do? What should I do? And the Lord Jesus Christ in his word helps us with that. He can guide us in every circumstance. We go to the Lord and we say, Lord, what should I do? Guide me. And he'll show us through his word what we should do. Remain faithful to him. But even more than just guiding us, he lets us know what we should do. He advises us. In the word of God, we are reminded of principles and scriptures that help us to say, all right, well, what should I do in this situation? Guide me. But not only that, but tell me what I should do. Show me through the word of God. And so just those three things, the Lord Jesus Christ as leader, us wanting to be like Him, us wanting Him to guide us wanting Him to advise us, to let us know. But is that enough? And I know I haven't talked about every aspect. It would be here for a long time if I did. But is that enough? Is my Christianity such that, is my salvation such that I take that example, that guidance, that advice, and I say, all right, thanks. I'm gonna go along and try to see what I can do now. Is it just simply, I'll do my own thing, and then when things are going bad, or I really need to, I really have a tough decision to make, then I'll go to the Lord? Is it that when things are going good in my life, I'm not worried about the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to emulate Him or be like Him? I'm just, you know, going along with the motions and doing the things that I do. And then when there's a crisis, I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, I really want to be like You. I really want to know how you responded in a certain situation. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ being leader, it's wonderful. And we should all have that desire that He would lead us, that He would be our leader. But that by itself is not enough. He needs to be our Lord. I was thinking about a cop who, an officer, who would be in the middle of a road directing traffic. And if he puts his hand out to you, you stop your car, right? He has no, I mean, if you were to keep going, he wouldn't be able to move the car off the way. He doesn't have power like that. But he can control traffic because we respect that officer. We say he has authority. He has a right to stop us. Well, if the Lord Jesus Christ, He doesn't physically move us. The Lord doesn't physically take us and put us places. But He has, and He should have, the authority in my life that He could lead me where He wants me to be led. That He could lead me in situations where perhaps I don't, you know, I wouldn't want to do by my own, but that's where He wants me. And what I'm trying to get at is just Christ being our Lord is more than having Him being an example. Christ as our Lord is me acknowledging that I am not my own. That I am not my own. Why is Christ our Lord? And a lot of the times, you know, especially those two portions of scripture I read in the beginning, are oftentimes read in the gospel about following the Lord Jesus Christ, taking up the cross, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul, and the example of the rich young ruler. But I was looking at those and just saying, you know, what did Christ do for us? He gave His life. And when He gave His life, He purchased us. He purchased us. We've been purchased with a price. And so, go back to that point that Christ as Lord means that I am not my own. How difficult it is to simply let go. To simply let go. It's there's always some part of us that wants control. There's always some part of us that wants control, that says, well, I understand what the Word of God says, but I think I want to try things my way. Or even if it's not about decisions, if it's about, you know, desires, wants. I want to be like the Lord, yet I want to do something else. Yet I have something hidden that only I can think about. Only I can see. It really, it's not for the Lord. Really, it's for myself. I really enjoy that part of life, and I really enjoy that. So I'm going to leave that, and I'm going to let the Lord be Lord in the other parts of my life. But that part, I don't know. How difficult it is to let go, to understand that that we are not our own. I think about things that I buy. And, you know, with me, technology, I love to buy new things and I love to, you know, try to buy the latest and the greatest and all. But, you know, in the end, those things, it was mentioned a couple weeks ago, you know, those things are not going to be, they're not going to be mine forever. Right? And why is it so difficult for me to let go? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is reminding us in His Word that we must follow Him and that He has purchased us with a price. And so not only is it that Christ is our Lord because of what He has done, because we are purchased with a price, but it is who He is. Christ is Lord. We are not saying that, you know, that the Lord Jesus Christ, and often, once again, in the gospel, we oftentimes say, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't just come to be an example. He came to give His life for us. Well, in the same vein, it's not just that the Lord Jesus Christ gave His life for us and that was the end. He resurrected. He is at the right hand of God. Christ is Lord. That is who He is. And that being the case, He deserves to take lordship in my life. Think about, I mean, if you take a glance at this, at the Gospels, once again, just go into to all that we see in the Gospels, how He controls nature, how He has control over dead, how He has control over disease, how He has control, He can even resurrect Himself. We are often also reminded that in the coming day, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. So it's not simply the fact that, you know, when I bow down to the Lord, I'm saying, okay, oh, okay, God, I'll let you have everything. We are acknowledging that the Lord Jesus Christ is who He says He is, that He is Lord. And so I am His possession. Right? I do not belong to myself. I am a stranger and a pilgrim here in this world. And so I was just thinking, in closing, just what are some things that we can show that Christ is our Lord. That's one of the reasons why I read in Romans in chapter 12. Now Paul would say, present your body as a living sacrifice. And oftentimes I think of this one word, yield. Yield. It's a strong word. It has with it the idea of something that I give, something that I yield my will. I bow down my will to His. And so right off the bat, when I'm thinking about how can Christ be Lord in my life, I'm thinking of a will that is bowed down to Him, of a will that doesn't seek what I want, but seeks the best that God wants for me to have. The things that God want is what I desire. Present my body a living sacrifice. Also, in the study of His Word, looking at His Word, recognizing who He is and learning more about Him. I was thinking about that in Matthew in chapter 19, thinking about that ruler. You know, he obviously, you know, once again, he wasn't saved, and the Lord Jesus Christ was bringing to him the realization that he didn't understand his need. He was a sinner. And yet he said that all these things, all these commandments I've kept from my youth up. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, you know, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and follow me. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is in no way saying that we can earn our salvation by giving to the poor. What He wants to get from this man is the realization that he is not perfect, that he has sins, that he covets something more than he covets eternal life, that he wants something more than he wants the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was just thinking about that in my own life. If I am to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, what did the Lord Jesus Christ say? Take up your cross. Follow me. The Gospel of Luke says, take up your cross daily. And so, showing him as Lord in my life, not only does it take a yielded will or bowed will to him, not only could we study the Word of God more and learn more about him, but as we follow him, as we deny ourselves and follow him, we're showing to the world that there is someone else that we answer to. There is one that is higher than any earthly authority, because he is our Lord. And so just considering what the Word of God has before us and what we can see, what we can hear about in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord, it's just just the thoughts that I've had about the Lordship of Christ, about him, about us bowing down to his will and trying to live lives that are pleasing to him. You know, the whole point is not, and oftentimes we have to remind ourselves, the whole point is not to hit ourselves over the head and say, oh, we're doing such a horrible job. I'm doing such a horrible job. The whole point is to look to him, to look to Christ, to be encouraged with the fact that we can have Christ as our Lord. It's a privilege. It's an honor. We think about who Christ is, and we think about this world, and we think about our salvation. What a joy that we have, that we can know more about Christ, that we can understand what the Bible has to say, that we can own him as Lord. That's quite the privilege. The world doesn't have that. The world doesn't have one to go to. And so, as we think about these things, as we think about the Lordship of Christ, as we think about, you know, him being leader and him being Lord, we need to just always remember that we can say amen, that the Lord Jesus Christ loves us, that he gave himself for us. That we can say amen because we are a child of his. We can say amen because he doesn't want to give us anything that we can't handle. That all the things that happen in our lives are for his purposes, and they all have a reason. And so, you know, thinking about Christ as Lord, he is not the kind of Lord that does things arbitrarily, that, you know, there is no purpose, there is no reason behind it, that we're suffering just because that's the way it's supposed to be. Think about heaven, because his dominion is in heaven. Someday soon, and could be right now, the Lord will return. I don't think about that enough. The Lord will return. Or we will be with him in heaven. And so how great will that moment be when we look back into our lives and we say, I chose to serve Christ as Lord. I bowed my will to him. And look at what I have. That's not the ultimate motive. Not just so that we can say, look what I have. Look how God is glorified. Now and for all eternity. Now, when I bow down to Christ as my Lord, he gets the glory. Because others see and they say, ooh, what? This one is different. I want to know more about he gets the glory. God gets the glory in heaven. He can say, that was my servant. That was one who followed me. So hopefully these little words, these little thoughts will be of joy, of use to someone. And just, we'll understand that we can't possibly know all that there is to know about God. And, you know, It's just something that we should take encouragement and just think about having Christ as our Lord. Shall we pray?